The next reading I'm going to do real quick here because I don't want to leave this out in case we keep going in conversation. So Philippians 1, 12 through 18 says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." What has happened to me? What has happened to him? Where is he? He's in prison. That's just an unlikely thing to say at the beginning of a passage here. Let's see. Where am I? Now I lost my spot. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, more of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of that, I rejoice. Interesting. So Paul's first problem, of course, is that he's in prison. For a traveling apostle to be put in prison, that must seem like a concert pianist having his hands tied behind his back. How does Paul turn this situation around in order to be an opportunity to advance the gospel? We just read it, but does that make any sense to any of you? Can you articulate what he's actually saying there? It starts out a little bit surprising when he's grateful and rejoicing for the fact that he is where he is. And we were talking, it's not like prison today where you get three hots and a cot. It was a completely different situation back then. And being put in prison denied you of all of the rights that even most prisoners in today's society enjoy. So how could he say that advances the gospel? Hold on one second. Go ahead.
I think he was saying it gave him an opportunity to give the message to people in the palace and others who probably would never otherwise hear it.
Yeah. Rob?
Bloom where you're planted.
Yeah, that's true too. Right. And what you're saying is there is no way that the people that were within that palace guard or within that, let's call it, structure of that penal society that they had there would have ever had the opportunity, perhaps, otherwise, to hear the gospel. Because although the gospel by this point with Paul has been spread to parts of the world, clearly more of the world is unpreached to than preached to. And I would think in the middle of the Roman occupation, that would be a kind of a dark place to try to hear the word of God. Okay, so absolutely, that's a really, really good point. And also that we are told to, yes, to do the best we can to promote the gospel and tell about Jesus, even in circumstances that don't appear like that would be a great opportunity. Pastor, I thought maybe I saw you.
No.
Nope. Okay. So the next one says here, there are some people going around talking about King Jesus. I'm sure that made the Romans very happy. Paul, who knows, King Jesus, who Paul knows, don't really mean it. It was almost said in sarcasm, I guess, if you could think of it that way, right? They don't believe the message. They merely want to make more trouble for him in his imprisonment. Talk like this would be guaranteed to make people feel that Paul was a dangerous lunatic who should be kept locked up. How does Paul turn this situation around in order to be an opportunity to advance the gospel? Remember, these people are out there. Part of their mission is to see him suffer further. And so by trying to stir up, let's just, as he says it, stir up trouble for him, that's one of the reasons why they're doing some of this stuff. But how does that, what does Paul say about that? Anybody? So remember at the end how it says that at the end of that text that we just read, it talks about, I don't care how he gets it. I don't care how we get it. To preach is to preach. To hear the word is to hear the word. He is grateful for that, even if their motives are pure. Because we know that even the devil serves the purpose of the Lord. It's his purpose. Think about this. False motives for teaching, God will find a way to use that to his advantage. Many of us recently have gone through things where we might be able to say, hey, you know, things haven't been going too well, and I've been trying to figure out a way to gain control of things again. What we tend to find out is that we didn't need to gain control of anything, right? Because God already had control of it, including these other people that are proclaiming the gospel in such a way that is not intended really for the benefit of anybody, but to harm. God can turn that around. And as Paul says, he rejoices in that opportunity for people to hear the word, regardless of the intention of the reason it was proclaimed in the first place. Oscar.
That reminds me of the story of Joseph. The three more done.
Yeah. Oscar is saying that that gives him a memory a little bit of the story of Joseph. Same idea, right? Where they tried to smear Joseph. The brothers did, anyway. And it only served Joseph even further in the end, and eventually the Lord as well.